Ukrainians are preparing firewood and candles, they say now, to brace for a winter of expected Russian strikes on the energy grid there. Let's find out what Joseph Lindsley is up to. Joe, are you getting ready for that? Is it still relatively warm where you are?
Yeah, Bob, good afternoon from Kyiv, and it's a quite nice day in the 60s and sunny today. But you already see, whether I'm here in Kyiv or down in Odessa, in the south, generators, ready for the winter in front of most shops and restaurants. And people are, they learned quite quickly a year ago how to adapt through a winter, not only with often no electricity or no heat, but also sometimes no water. And so there's no complacency. There's a sense of preparing. But we do have to note that since for one month and one day now, since September 22nd, when Ukraine hit, in that very extraordinary strike, hit the headquarters of the Russian Black Sea Fleet and forced the Russian Black Sea Fleet to disperse from its main naval base in Sevastopol in occupied Crimea, since then, there have been no nationwide major strikes by the Russians. And, it was, as I mentioned last week, it was October 10th of last year when Russia began its weekly assaults on Ukrainian infrastructure. There has been a lot of concern about that because the Russians did so much damage to Ukrainian infrastructure last year that any more damage would really be terrible. On the plus side, Ukrainians really have learned how to adapt in a cheerful way. But the other point that can't be missed is that Russia has, this is an unusual period, you could say, of quiet in many Ukrainian cities. And we have evidence, of course, that Russia has been moving its Black Sea Fleet much further away to its secondary port in Novorossiysk, which is on Russian mainland. And I think that, again, never complacent, but this does seem that Russia has a major weakness. And so this is, I think, and obviously, as we've talked about, this gets missed with the stories about what's happening with Hamas and Israel. Another success that the Ukrainians have had, we've heard so much talk of the counteroffensive. Ukrainians have established two new bridgeheads on the left bank of the Dnipro River in the Kherson region. And so if you remember, when the counteroffensive was allegedly beginning in late May, early June, it was in early June when Russians blew up the Novokakhovka Dam. And perhaps that did stall Ukraine's efforts because it flooded such a vast territory. In fact, many people in those city in Kherson and Mykolaiv and the surrounding villages are still without water because of what happened in June. So there's a lot of suffering happening there. But Ukrainians have now crossed in two different points the Dnipro River, that same river that was affected by the destruction of the dam, and they have bridgeheads on the other side. And the Russians have acknowledged this. So something is happening there. We also have in eastern Ukraine in Donbass, near the city of Donetsk, which the Russians have occupied since 2014, that Ukrainian city. There's a smaller city called Avdiivka, and there's been very intense battles there for several weeks. And there were, so it's hard to know exactly what's happening, but the reports we're getting is that Russia, as they did with Bakhmut for 8 months, is throwing, the Russians are throwing troops and tanks and everything they can at this small fortified town. But it seems that the Russians are incurring extremely heavy losses. So that's another area that we are watching. And I think this, although Russia has not been able to have a major nationwide assault on Ukraine, and in fact, I mean, we've had a few air alarms in Kyiv over the weekend, but no drone strikes, no missile strikes. And you have to remember, Kyiv is well protected now by those Patriot missile batteries from the United States. So though Russia has been unable to do anything extraordinary, they still continue with these sort of what we could call terroristic attacks closer to the Russian border and closer to the front lines. And for example, over the weekend, the Russians precisely targeted a Nova Pochta depot. It's a private Ukrainian postal company called New Post. They hit the depot in the middle of the night. People are working there through the night. Nova Post is an incredible company. If you send a letter or a parcel, you can have it delivered almost anywhere in Ukraine within a day for a very cheap price. They also are happy to ship any material for troops for free. And so they've really been a key part of the war effort. The Russians hit this Novopolska depot. 14 workers were injured and 6 were killed, most of them in their young 20s. And so we do see Russia continuing with these sort of civilian terroristic attacks. And when you read the press accounts of what happened on Novopolska, you know, everyone says, oh, but this was a civilian object. And that's true. But what that misses is the reality of this whole war is that, you know, most Ukrainian soldiers were civilians on February 23rd, 2022. And almost every civilian here is working for victory in some way. Russia's target is the civilians. It's the people of Ukraine who chose to have a democracy rather than be ruled by Russia. And so sometimes that gets missed. But even the soldiers here are civilians, people simply insisting on their freedom.
And I know you talked to a bartender recently, had a conversation with him that was pretty interesting. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, well, with Ukrainian media here in Kyiv, Ukrinska Pravda, Ukrainian Truth, I've started a new podcast called Land of the Free, and speaking with people who know English well about the reality of life in war. And I spoke with Ashat Galston. He's an Armenian-Ukrainian. His parents have a great Armenian restaurant here in Kyiv. And Ashat was one of the top bartenders in the country before the full-scale Russian invasion. And he was traveling around the world to bartending competitions. When Russia invaded, he and his friend Nastya, who's a Ukrainian singer, they decided to become combat medics. And so Nastya is trained on how to try to save people, soldiers' lives. Ashat is armed with a gun, and they drive in a van to the gray zones, so two areas where there could be Russians behind the trees, there could be Russians on the next block or even in the next house, and they go to rescue Ukrainian soldiers. And so I interviewed him in this podcast, Land of the Free, and among other things, he spoke about, you know, fairly often they've had to transport the bodies of dead soldiers. And, you know, and how difficult, and he said a lot of volunteers, they can't do that. It's just too much for them. But as he said, you know, the hardest thing to do is to give your life for liberty and for the country and for the people. And he spoke about how his career as a bartender and coming from a family, a restaurant family with a focus is on hospitality, prepared him for this. You know, that was all training for this most important act of hospitality, to care for the wounded soldiers. And they spoke about they give him a power bank. They give them a pink blanket or something. They make them feel that they're out of the trenches and cared for. And so I wanted to share with you this short clip of Ashat speaking about this former bartender, now combat medic, speaking about what the Ukrainian soldiers say, what many of them say when they're in the van on the evacuation from the front lines.
50% of time, maybe a little bit less, okay. Especially when there is a Sturm or something, some special operation or something. And when they get in the car, they just asking for a magic pill and they want to go back and fight with their brothers in arms, you know? And just like sometimes it's getting crazy. They like, I want to go back. Give me pill and I'm going back. Let's go. Let's go. Come on. And you just calm down. For you today, for you, war is over. For today, your war is over. Come on. You do your best. Now it's time to rehabilitation or something. I respect these people because no matter what, they want to fight for their country, for people, for their families. Like, pledge or pledge. Near their brothers.
Oh, shoulder to shoulder. Shoulder to shoulder. Yeah, yeah.
And while they know that their friends are still there fighting with the enemy, they want to join.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes to die with them.
Isn't that something, a bartender turned combat medic? It's like what's going on in Israel, right, Joe, with so many men and women of all ages now joining the military.
Indeed, it's so much the same story. You can listen to that full interview with Ashat at UkrainianFreedomNews.com. And as we, it's, you know, and it's a heavy time with heavy news all around the world. But here I still see, I'm willing to say, I think that Ukraine is in a moment of great strength right now.
Joseph Lindsley in Kyiv until tomorrow. Thank you, as always, Joe.
Until tomorrow.